Welcome back to Athens Happens. I'm Izzy Keller, managing editor of The New Political.
And I'm Aidan McDougall, digital content producer for The New Political.
Athens Happens is a podcast brought to you by The New Political, a student publication dedicated to explaining the nuances of Ohio University, Athens, and state politics.
You can find new episodes at thenewpolitical.com or wherever else podcasts can be downloaded.
Music, like other forms of art, has been used to reflect society, culture, and politics at different points in history. From Yankee Doodle Dandy to Real Women Vote for Trump, political music has been a way for the oftentimes unheard and frustrated to transmit messages for centuries.
From war songs to protest songs to rap, punk, and even country, political music can address social grievances and bring awareness to different social situations through song. Music is a tool and has helped shape the political landscape for centuries. Today we are here with opinion writer Mark Harris and staff writer Rachel Yunt to discuss political music, share our favorite songs, and engage in some friendly debate.
So let's first go around the table and have you all introduce yourselves. Let's start with Aidan and then go Rachel and then Mark. So Aidan.
I'm Aidan McDougall. I am a political science pre-law major. I am a first year.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Rachel.
I'm Rachel Yunt. I'm a journalism news and information major, and I'm a first year.
Slay. And now you, Mr. Harris or Mark.
Do not call me Mr. Harris. That's not even my dad's name. Okay.
Sorry.
That's how bad. Now, my name's Mark Harris. I am an opinion writer with The New Political as of this year, and I am also a first-year student here at OU, even though I'm an atraditional student coming in later on in my personal life. I'm also involved with the Ohio Forward Party. I am the captain for the Eastern District of Ohio.
And you just received that promotion. Congratulations.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
And Mark is actually the reason why we're all here today. So Mark, in one of your recent columns, and I think it came out this week or earlier this week, you broke down your top 10 songs to save America. You mentioned that most music focuses on relationships, love, and heartbreak, but the most impactful songs concern some kind of social commentary. Can you tell me a little bit more about your playlist or and the story and the playlist included?
Yeah, so I chose 10 songs that I thought were the most informative upon different social and political aspects in America today. I was definitely thinking from an American-based mindset. There's plenty of good political songs that have to do with stuff outside the country, but these 10 were more focused on America's political, social state. But it was hard to narrow down, but I had a playlist for a while titled Songs to Save America, so it just seemed fitting to do a piece about it. And then I'll just say, you know, for the short time, my favorite one on there was the Living in America by Aztec Two-Step, which is kind of an obscure song, but I highly recommend that you go find that. Make sure not to confuse it with Living in America by James Brown, which is another decent song, especially it's in the Rocky movies, but not quite as politically potent as the Aztec Two-Step version.
All right. Well, so you bring me to my first question, Mark. So to prepare for this podcast, and I did this as well, I asked all three of you, to pick your top three favorite political songs. Who cares to share?
I can.
Yeah, go for it, Aidan.
So I chose American Idiot by Green Day, Fortunate Son by Creedence Clearwater Revival, and then This Is America by Childish Gambino.
That goes hard. All right, Rachel?
I chose Brazil by Declan McKenna, Ohio by Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, and Nina Cried Power by Hozier featuring Mavis Staples.
Yeah, I've talked with both of you about your playlists. I mean, your top three, and I thought that they were all pretty good. And Mark, do you want to talk about, again, your top three from the story, or do you want to come up with, you said you came up with three more new ones.
I'll just stick with the three from the story, just because they seem more politically relevant to what we were talking about otherwise. I already mentioned my favorite Aztec Two-Steps version of Living in America, but the other two, the third favorite was Long Violent History by Tyler Childers, and then the second place position was Rat by Penelope Scott. Both of those are also really good. I tried to give politically balanced mindset in the top three. Obviously, I was going to choose my favorite as the first, but the other two, Tyler Childers is more directed at a conservative mindset and a critique of conservative thought, whereas Rat by Penelope Scott is more targeted at the West Coast technology focused. I don't really want to say super politically left, but like the billionaire type tech type. Sorry, let me restate that. Okay. The tech billionaires and their acolytes on the left is probably the best way to describe that.
Like Silicon Valley.
Yeah, Silicon Valley, yeah.
All right, and then I'll share mine. My first favorite was, I'm just going to start from the top. My first favorite was The Pill by Loretta Lynn, which is one of my favorite songs of all time, and I can write a manifesto about it. American Skin by Bruce Springsteen, which is a great one. I think that's just like the parentheses name. And then Keep Your Head Up by Tupac, and my mom used to play that for me when I was little, and I, of course, didn't understand it completely until I got a little older. Okay. So does anyone have anything else that they want to say about their songs or why you like them?
So the one that I want to talk about a little bit is American Idiot, just because it came out in like 2004. I was born in 2003. So just growing up in that time post 9/11 and you just hear this song, and then growing up, it continues out until 2020. Even in 2023, you still hear it. Just so it to stick and just hear like everything that they like talk about, and then the more you grow and the more you learn just to actually understand what it means was meaningful for me.
Yeah.
I can talk about Nina Cried Power a little bit. It's named for Nina Simone, and I chose that song because it's basically a love letter to the human spirit of protest, and it's actually about how music has been used throughout the decades to influence politics and call for social change. He name drops a lot of different popular artists of the past, like Billie Holiday, James Brown, Bob Dylan, John Lennon, and all the different people that have like inspired him. And the opening line of the song is like, it's not the waking, it's the rising. So it has a lot of very interesting implications about protest. And yeah.
Well, both Nina Simone and Billie Holiday have their share of protest or like, you know, politically related songs, Billie Holiday being Strange Fruit, and then Nina Simone being How It Feels to Be Free. I don't remember the name of the song. Oh, that's bad on my part. So based off of like all of our songs that we picked, you can totally see how there is a lot of diversity in songs, protest songs and political songs, and we've talked about that in the intro. And so all these different songs have come from different points in history. So what role do you guys think that music has had throughout America's political history?
I feel like music has been, music is a form of art, it's a form of expression. So I feel like throughout, like even through a political aspect, it's just a reflection on how people are feeling, what's going on, and like that sense of protest to like For Fortunate Son being a Vietnam War era protest song, to Childish Gambino's This Is America just goes to talk about violence in America. And I just feel like that reflection goes to prove the political landscape at the time.
I personally really like political music because it's allowing a political dialogue that's an art form, like you were getting at there. Because a lot of political communication is very clinical and clean, or if not that, very, you know, trying to be high-minded and think about deep and complex issues. But and not that the music doesn't talk about that, but it's able to bring in elements of rhyme, rhythm, repetition, and convey ideas that go beyond just the words used in their literal sense, but bring a feeling along with that.
I think just like Mark said, that music has the ability to communicate a lot of different emotions, and through those emotions really like cut to the heart of the American people, like the song Ohio that I chose in the reaction to the Kent State shootings and everything. I mean, it's an anti-war song from the 70s, and it just feels like pure rage to like listen to it, and anger and everything. And so you can read about it and you can hear this like cold, sterilized like political dialogue about it, or you can just like feel the emotion of what it actually is, and it's very emotionally charged.
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, the four dead in Ohio at the end, where it goes four dead in Ohio, four dead in Ohio, over and over again, for sure.
So why do you think songs from like the past or from like the 60s still resonate with us today?
I mean, as a culture, we're still trapped in the baby boomer era. I mean it's just by population density, they're still the largest cohort, and though that's slowly but surely shifting away as they all, you know, age into death, just like everybody is inevitably going to do. But this is, and I think this is why our political moment right now is so relevant, is we've got to set the tone for what's next. We're still trapped in that culturally, and we're slowly coming out of this. And I think that's why they're still relevant. But I think the lessons that were taught then need to be translated on to the next generation. We need to take those lessons that they were trying to dispense at the time and apply it to today. And I think that's those two things in conjunction are why it's still very relevant.
I think that a lot of the issues that the baby boomers were facing or the people from the 60s were facing have not changed. I mean, maybe they have on the surface, but a lot of the political unrest and the inequality and the inequity and the just general feeling of, you know, needing to protest and feeling unheard has not gone away. And I think that a lot of the songs, even from before the 60s, are still relevant. I mean, you have like Pete Seeger, This Land Is Your Land. Forgot what the other Pete Seeger song is. But, you know, they're all still very relevant. So even though we have progressed, you know, socially or maybe culturally a little bit, those still kind of fundamental those fundamental truths still remain.
Might agree with that.
I think also, just like Izzy said, the fundamental desire of like a human wanting to be heard, we're all still facing like a lot of existential threats. We have a lot of information coming at us, whether it's things like the threat of nuclear war and like the draft, or things like climate change and in a political system that it doesn't really feel like we can do a lot in. It's kind of a universal feeling to still be like begging the powers that be to like pay attention and identifying things like corruption in the system. Like that is still an issue today.
Yeah, I think it's also that you've got to reach a cultural peak. You have to have enough people to get behind something. It has to be so prevalent amongst the population to actually get that response from the government. Like, that is the only real political lever the public has, is that if there is a critical mass of people demanding something, it will happen because it just has to. But when it comes to issues that are complex and stuff like that, it's very hard to communicate to that level of people, you know, or that many people, how like these complex issues to actually get behind. That's why it takes so long in American politics, or at least in my personal opinion, for things to happen, is because the only way to make things actually happen is to have enough people behind it. It's not a simple majority is not enough. Even scientific study is not enough. You've got to have everyone on the street saying this needs to change right now. And I think music is probably the most effective medium to make that happen.
I would agree. I think music and photography are both very impactful. I mean, I'm sure that, you know, you guys were all around the same age. Like, you guys have seen like the pictures of like 9/11 and just like have those kind of like, what's the word, like burned into your head from when you were younger. And I think it goes the same way with like songs. It's, you know, you grow up and you hear, you know, like Yankee Doodle Dandy, or for me it was Keep Your Head Up, like, you know, and then you just, I think you kind of make that almost like a part of, you know, the way you view the world and, you know, the way that you, you know, perceive politics and stuff like that.
So like in like that idea of change and like just building off of that, and like what is noticed is, I mean, I'm going back to Fortunate Son again, because I mean, that song takes a jab at rich and privileged people who were like exempt from being drafted. And then even now to today, or well, 3 years ago in 2020, when Donald Trump would play that song during his rallies, I mean, Fogerty even commented on to Los Angeles Times that like this song is about the kind of person he is. And it that's exactly who he wrote the song about, is like just a rich and privileged person who like is trying to, just a rich and privileged person who is not like an everyday man. I don't know how to phrase that.
He had bone spurs, man. How do you expect him to go march across Vietnam?
Yeah.
But for Trump being a rich and privileged person who was just avoiding the draft even at the time, and then to play that song at like a rally, just proves that there is no sense of change in his mind, no like growth that he noticed. But for Fogerty to realize it, and for like other American people to realize, oh, the song was about you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not to go off on a tangent, but Trump's dad was really good friends with McCarthy. Like, this is a direct tie to McCarthyism. The exact playbook is being repeated, because why wouldn't you? It worked once. The American public is just as scared now as they were in the 60s. Why wouldn't you play the same game?
I think Americans a lot of times, and this is my personal opinion, really, really like having something to be afraid of and sharing that fear. So whether that is like, you know, right now it's like the trans panic, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of, even like if we're talking about like political songs, there's a lot of political songs that are relating to things that we are facing today, like the trans panic. Born This Way by Lady Gaga is literally a gay anthem.
Yeah.
yes.
Like, you know, and I think that a lot of times, you know, that's kind of where the intersection of culture and politics kind of come in. You know, there's like, you know, gay anthems that also kind of function as protest songs, and then a whole bunch of different stuff that I can't think of right now. But like, you know, I just think it's very interesting to see, because it's just, it's so interesting to be able to pinpoint a point in culture. Like, even like, if we're talking about, you know, school shootings, and that's something that I think all of us grew up with. You know, Pumped Up Kicks by Foster the People, that's about Columbine, and we grew up with that, and it's still relevant. It's obviously relevant today. The Michigan State University shooting just happened like 2 weeks ago, if that. So it'll, you know, I think that, I don't know, there's a lot of repetition.
I remember when that song came out. I'm a little bit older than, not very much, about 4 years, but that's, you know, a little bit more time, especially since the time frame's relevant. But anyways, I remember my parents having this discussion about that song in particular, and, you know, they were saying this was glorifying the shooter because it puts you in the mindset of the shooter. But I even at the time as a kid, was able to realize that, no, they're not trying to glorify this action. They're trying to get you to understand that the social pressures put on kids that are left behind can often cause them to make choices like this, and that we need to try to address these underlying issues to get this problem solved. But, you know, that's just something I noticed from that song in particular, from my past, that I remember.
Yeah, and even like with what Izzy said, I feel like it ties into culture really well, just with music about like certain situations about Columbine or even Vietnam to 9/11. It's just all culture.
Yeah, I mean, another thing, one of the songs on the playlist or on the top 10 list that I did has a reference to the Columbine thing, or Columbine shooting, not thing, but he's raising the point that at the moment, that political moment, people were blaming Marilyn Manson. They were saying, oh, it's a Marilyn Manson song that made them do that. And this is the Ballad of the Kingsmen by Todd Snyder. And, you know, it goes through, the song title is Ballad of the Kingsmen. The Kingsmen's song that was talking about sexual liberation at the time. They're saying, well, these kids are acting up and acting different. We need to do something about it. Here we go 30 years in the future. Now there's a mass shooting because of the problem with the youth at the time. And people, again, want to blame it on the youth culture. It's not youth culture. It's the pressure that society puts on youth culture.
Another thing, since you're talking about controversial and like you're talking about like with Pumped Up Kicks, like your parents being like, this is glorifying violence. There's a song called John Walker's Blues, and my mom played it for me, and it's by Steve Earle, and it talks about a kid. And this is, you know, this song came out in 2002, who joined the Taliban, and just kind of what happened with that. And it was met with so much controversy, especially coming so close after 9/11. And I think that even though that it's probably not the story that people maybe want to hear, it's still an important story to tell, because it's showing how, you know, certain people are susceptible to, you know, going. He's an American who went and joined the Taliban. And, you know, that I grew up hearing stories about people doing stuff like that. And I think that that's another important part of music, is showing different sides of a situation that maybe you wouldn't normally think about. And maybe it made people think differently about, you know, maybe letting their kids online, or maybe keeping a closer eye on certain things and letting people know that this can happen.
I hate to make it too politically relevant, but the Obama administration's FBI director and some of the stuff they were pulling with children online, Muslim children online, and radicalizing them just to entrap them to be arrested. The person would never have actually been in contact with any radical group. It was an FBI person pretending to be a part of that radical group. As soon as they went as far as, you know, booking the plane ticket or making an actual action they could bring up in court, and then they would spring on them. So just, you know, 10 years after the song you referenced there, that not only that we have this just happening, we are militarizing that to target a group. in our culture. I mean, this is how brutal things are and how important it is to understand these cultural connections.
Yeah, for sure.
We talked about this a while ago when Izzy mentioned like how music intersects with other things in culture, like pictures and things. And that one picture of the Kent State shooting where the person is crying over the bot, like that is what the song Ohio sounds like. And so I do think that there is like an intersection of all the different types of like, I don't know. It conveys a very powerful emotion.
No, but you're totally right. I've went to Kent State and I went to that place where they took the picture. And it was in my journalism and trauma class, and we actually got to like talk to the guy who took the picture, and he went and won like a Pulitzer and all that different stuff for it. And it's just very strange being there. And I think that also with Ohio, Neil Young is such a good songwriter. All, you know, Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young, they're all great songwriters. And I think that, you know, has a big part in that as well. Because if you know, it's one thing making a political song, but it's another thing doing it well. If you're taking on something that's controversial, you have to do it well or else it loses all of its meaning. I mean, like, what do you guys think about that?
I mean, I think anybody's voice is worth hearing, mm-hmm. but the kind of impact you have with a song that's written well is obviously going to be greater than something that's not easily listened to or readily acceptable because of the performance. So I think that's an important aspect of it, definitely.
I mean, like, sorry, that probably sounded a little like, what's the word? Uppity. But I meant it more like real women vote for Trump versus like Ohio. Like, you know, obviously there's a different level of impact between the two. Not saying that like, you know, someone could write something and I could not agree with it and it would be automatically bad. It's more like, you know, there's a way to do it right and there's a way that you can do it and it's still technically right, but maybe it's not as impactful.
I always think of any piece of art as having two audience groups. You have the audience that the author or creator of the art intended it to land with, the people they were thinking when they made, and then it's the actual audience that consumes it. Mm-hmm. So I think you've got to walk the line between the two of those. And I think talented artists who cover real issues target a group of people when they're communicating, but also make the audience, you know, expand that audience beyond what they originally intended. That's when the song takes on a life, I think, beyond the artist's intent. And that goes for photographs and art pieces as well. I mean, you know, Picasso, the bombing in the city, the really famous one. I cannot think of the name of that. Sorry. Yeah, I should. We all should really know it, but we don't.
Guernica?
Yes, yes. Yeah,
the bombing of what?
Guernica.
Oh. Guernica, yeah. And, you know, you see how, like, yeah, sure, Picasso was huge at the time. People really cared about that. But you don't have to know anything about Picasso or his art. If you see that image, you know that it's expressing a violent, horrible event. And, you know, if you know the name, that's all the historical context you need to know. And it gets beyond the artist. I mean, I'd say more people are familiar with that work than they are necessarily with Picasso himself.
Yeah. I think that that's very fair. I think that, you know, I think that music, you know, again, going back to Ohio or even Fortunate Son, where if you're talking about like, you know, Ohio, the song Ohio paints such a picture of what happened. And it's, like you said, directly based off of like the imagery that you see. And then, you know, Fortunate Son, I think, really describes a point in time where a lot of, you know, working class and middle class people were targeted and sent to a war that, quite frankly, we shouldn't have been in. And it didn't make sense that the United States was in it. And that we ended up losing and people died and were in a lot of ways crucified for their forced participation in that war. And I think that it both, you know, tells you all that you need to know about that specific point in time.
Yeah, this probably is less relevant, but I always, when the Vietnam discussion comes up, we never bring up France. France was the colonizers who controlled that. They demanded we step in. They begged us to allow them to use our nuclear weapon in Vietnam. France was the complete villain in this situation, pulled us into something we should have never been involved in. And here we are never mentioning, and look, I'm not trying to come down hard on France or anything. Every country's got their historical problems and issues. But I'm always struck by how we never talk about that. It was not our colony on that side of the world. It was France's colony on that side of the world. We got involved militarily to get the French to stop trying to get a nuclear program.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
No, but whenever I think about Vietnam, I think about my great aunt's ex-boyfriend who has significant medical problems from being forced to go to Vietnam.
Is it Agent Orange?
I think it's Agent Orange. I think he, every couple years maybe, or maybe it's like every few months, he has to go and get it like taken out of his body.
That's absolutely awful.
It really is. It definitely is. So let's move to a more positive topic. I'm not even going to go there. Has any particular song enlightened you politically? Let's start with Aiden.
I'd say my biggest one is definitely This Is America by Childish Gambino. I mean, it came out in 2018, so I was just in high school, and like, you know, we've lived through however many unfortunate school shootings because this is America, and the song itself revolves around a central message of guns and violence in America and the fact that we deal with them and consume them as a part of entertainment on one hand, and on the other hand, it's part of our like national conversation. But even the song itself means a lot, but the video itself also shows a lot because you have a lot of symbolism in it of one of the church shootings and other like school shootings, but it also goes to show the struggles and like ideas for like for Black people in America and how American violence is just relevant every day.
Yeah, the Charleston church shooting was awful.
Yes,
and you know the imagery in that video is really, you know, I remember people would break it down on Twitter and it would just be like 100 tweet threads, and you know he really put a lot of, you know, I think thought and a lot of interpretation into that. Okay, Mark.
So I guess when it comes to like enlightenment and that term, I don't think any song really woke me up to politics in like that kind of sense. But the Aztec two-step Living in America helped me find a balance between my disgust with the country and then also love for the country. Because in verse one, it is very, very prominent, the natural beauty, the cultural beauty amongst the people in America. But then in the second verse, they are extremely critical of things about, you know, people being left out in the cold. Then they go on to, you know, people fighting for gun control, the anti-nuke movement, which this is from 83, so it's the heat of the Cold War. And, you know, I think the ability to understand that the American identity is twofold. It is the belief in us and what we're doing and our countrymen, but it's also the fear and desire to change some of the more toxic aspects of our culture. And that kind of shifted my view and mindset away from this kind of, because for years, you know, the more you find out about the awful history of America's, you know, mistakes, it gets hard to be, you know, patriotic in the sense that I, you know, love this country. But also you wake up every day and interact with other Americans every single day. And it's like, wow, we really do have a resiliency here. And that just kind of, and that's why it ended up being the number one slot, is because it was able to walk both sides of that coin and put it in a way. And then the call and response at the end of just living in America repeated over and over and over again. And it's like, that's what every day is like. You get up and you see the news is horrible, and then you go talk to somebody on the street and they're incredibly nice. It's this duality of the American culture.
I think if we're talking about a political awakening, I don't want to talk about Ohio the entire time, but I have this memory of being in like fourth or fifth grade, and my brother was driving me home from school, and he was much older than me and always very interested in history and everything. And so he must have like heard the song in history class that day. And played the song Ohio for me and told me about everything. And he also played a lot of different, like he played me Fortunate Son, he played me We Didn't Start the Fire, and would just like talk about politics and stuff. And I was just like taking it all in as like this little kid. But I also go down these like Wikipedia rabbit holes where I just have to know everything about something. And so when I first heard the song Brazil by Declan McKenna, it's like a very catchy song. It's viral on TikTok. I knew it before it was viral on TikTok, but that's not relevant. And I did a lot of research into like what the lyrics were about. And it's a criticism of FIFA in the 2014 World Cup and Brazil, and it's about the wealth disparity in Brazil, and the lyrics sound very fun and whimsical, but they're really not. And so that song actually taught me a lot, and it ended up still being a pertinent issue, like with the most recent World Cup, with the corruption in the organization and everything like that.
All right. I never knew about the political, like, side of that song. I mean, I've heard it before, but I didn't realize. So one of my all-time favorite songs is A Pill by Loretta Lynn, and it's about the birth control pill being, approved by the FDA and how it gave women, more freedom. I wrote a two or three paragraph like essay response for my final in Politics of Appalachia about this song. And I just talks about how, the birth control pill allowed women to live more freely and kind of gain part of their autonomy back. I think another, kind of category of songs or genre of songs that we haven't really talked about is rap. And I think that rap songs are like the ultimate protest songs or the ultimate political like meaning songs, because in a way rap is poetry, but rap is also about, injustice a lot of times. And I think that Keep Your Head Up by Tupac, he talks about his mom and growing up, and like a good line is like, we all came from a woman, whatever. He's, saying, let women do what they want with their bodies, stuff like that. And I think that in addition to Tupac, like Kendrick Lamar has a lot of, like, almost every song has a political. To Pimp a Butterfly is like, an awesome album. And even his most recent album really talks about like mental health. That's a big focus of it. And like men's mental health, stuff like that. And then like also Beyonce, I have to mention Beyonce. You can't not mention Beyonce, especially after like the Super Bowl, like, Lemonade and Formation, and even to like an extent, like all this stuff that she's done for Disney, her newest album, all that, she is a very political person and she makes it known and she does it so well. And I think that, the way that she goes about it is in a very positive way. Obviously, a lot of the songs that we're talking about are really overwhelmingly negative because it's about, social injustices. It's about inequality. It's about times when people have been done wrong. But I think Beyonce really has a way of, saying, they're saying this, but, you're better than that. I think that she really brings people up and, that's more of like a modern take on it. Not that Beyonce's rap, Beyonce's more R&B, but still.
I wanted to ask what was your favorite song on the top 10 list that I put out? I don't know if that's particularly relevant, but if you've guys, I guess that's also assuming everybody's listened to it as well.
I wanted to look at them. I edited it. So I read your story last week.
Yeah.
So it's been a minute. Let me look at them.
Yeah, I unfortunately, I think it was either late night Thursday or Friday was when I finished that up. It's just... last week was a busy week. This week turned out to be busier. But, I don't know. I wanted to discuss that because I felt like I was kind of just monologuing myself what I thought about that, which is what the point of an opinion piece is. But mm-hmm. I did want to know if anybody else had any of them they liked.
I liked the Penelope Scott song. I knew that one beforehand. And I like some of Penelope Scott's other songs. I always forget the title. My memory is not the best sometimes, but I always have liked that song. I remember the first time I heard that song. I liked the Long Violent History by Tyler Childers. That one was also pretty good. I like Tyler Childers a whole lot. Sometimes I get excited when I can hear the bar below my apartment playing his music. And then, of course, like the Bo Burnham song. I thought that one was pretty good too. I'm trying to think. My favorite it's not really political song from the Bo Burnham was probably like the Instagram one where he's like, what is it, like a white woman's Instagram?
Yeah, that one's hilarious.
I know. I like the little sweet when he gets a little like sweet, like, oh, it's a picture of me and my mom and it's just so nice. And I thought that was
FaceTiming with my mom's a pretty good one.
I know.
Honestly, that, I mentioned a little bit in the piece about that, but I think, 10 years from now, that special, like that's what I'm going to show kids in 20 years and say, that you want to know what the lockdown was like? Experientially, like, obviously it's satirized a little bit, but that's more or less how I felt. The depression, the unable to do anything but try to self-encourage, but then as soon as you do that long enough, you start to hate yourself a little bit. That really hit home to me. I just want to know what everybody thought. I used the song from Over the Hedge.
When I read that, I was like, is this real? Is this how you... I haven't seen Over the Hedge in, like, I don't even know. But, like, I thought it was kind of funny. It shouldn't be funny, but I thought it was kind of funny.
No, I mean, that was probably the most lighthearted song I put in there.
Yeah.
But the interesting bit with that one is there's two versions of that song. The other version is very self-deprecating. He basically says he doesn't have talent. Some editor comes and fixes his music for him. I didn't choose that one because it's more like internal thing, whereas that one's really going after suburban life. And of course, you know, William Shatner shows up on it. The William Shatner bit gets me every time. Anybody, either you two, have a favorite from that?
I love Rap by Penelope Scott. I know all the words to that song. I had a lot of friends recommend Penelope Scott to me, and I don't know. I think it's very poignant.
Yeah, the eat the rich line.
I'd have to eat my heroes first. Yeah, because wow.
Like seriously, I mean, because it really is hard. You know, your heroes, if they're someone that's big enough to have a platform that you're aware of them, there's a high likelihood they're also doing pretty well,
mm-hmm.
and have done something maybe less legitimate to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And Aiden will have our last question for today.
So that is to not call people misinformed, but do you think political songs are more analyzed by people who focus on politics or journalism compared to people who are just like listening to the radio and just living their lives?
I mean, that's an interesting way to frame it, honestly. I think it's twofold. I think people listen to stuff on the radio and sometimes don't pay attention to what the lyrics are. But I think sometimes what that is when they finally do sit down or randomly hear something and say, wait, what is this actually about? They realize the song that they were dancing along to is actually way more deep and important and culturally relevant. And I think just having that kind of moment, which has happened to me more than once with a song, especially the first few times I've heard a song, and it's just like, okay, well, you know, maybe everything is on that level. You know, maybe when we dilute ourselves, you know, reasonably enough to having a happy moment or having something like that, which you need to do at some point, you got to remember you are diluting yourself. Reality is cruel. It is complex. It's not going away. And if you take a step out of that for a little bit, that's fine. But it's not going away just because you do that.
I think that nostalgia is an incredibly powerful emotion. So I think if you're somebody who is alive in like the Vietnam era and Fortunate Son comes on the radio, like I think that's going to do something to you. I think maybe most people just kind of listen to music and just enjoy what it sounds like. But also I think there's a good portion of people that are like, actually, did you know that this song is about... And so I think a healthy balance of both of those people in society can just kind of play together.
I agree with Rachel. I think nostalgia is really important. My mom used to play American by Descendants for me, which is a punk rock song, when I was in high school or maybe even in middle school. She also used to play Nazi Punks Fuck Off by Dead Kennedys. That one was while I was in high school. But, you know, I think that there's an act of passing things down as you... when you have kids or when you have grandkids, passing down certain songs. My grandpa showed us different songs. My mom plays songs. My grandpa has shown him. My dad plays songs. So I think there is definitely like a heirloom type of thing about it. But I have one more question. I lied. I'm so sorry, Aiden. This is our last question. Other than, of course, is there anything else you'd like to add? But what do you guys think is the protest song of our generation?
I'd like to say American Idiot, but I feel like more relevant would be This Is America by Childish Gambino, just to the sense of that violence in America that we see now. I mean, because there was like distrust in like government and like, you know, 9/11 and stuff. And then even there was like the opposite of that, where people felt more patriotic during then. But I think now, and to represent our generation, would be This Is America.
All right. I don't know. I think this is, you know, another thing. I think music has become so divergent and personal recently, especially with streaming services. There is no culturally homogenous protest song for the generation anymore, if that makes sense in what I'm trying to get at. But if I was going to choose, like, I really do think it's probably one of the Bo Burnham ones, but it's not one of the ones on the top 10. It's probably the Jeffrey Bezos. just as the irony of it, you know, because it's so casually easy to buy stuff on Amazon. And as long as people, like, I'm one of those people, just I don't buy stuff on Amazon. But, you know, as long as people can use that and still have enough satire or a satirical mindset that they can play that song along with it and say, yep, there's Jeffrey getting another, you know, dollar out of my pocket. I think that's, you know, that's the casual protest of our generation.
I forgot about that song. Thank you for reminding me about it.
It's my favorite on the album.
I think that Aiden's probably absolutely right about it being This Is America, because it is very difficult to pinpoint like a specific song, because I don't really know a lot of people our age who listen to the radio that much, or like don't really have a streaming service and don't really have like a personally curated sense of like of music that they like. So something that's so universal to be known as like the protest song of a generation. I will say probably everybody I've ever met knows the words to the Jeffrey Bezos song. But I feel like This Is America pretty much covers all the bases and says all the things that need to be said. And it's quite popular, so I'd probably give it that role.
All right. Well, does anyone else have anything that they would like to add?
I guess if at the end I would like to say, you know, go listen to songs, but think about them as art pieces. Don't just put on some music to put on some music. Actually think about what the artist is trying to say.
All right. Well, thanks, guys. This was fun.
Yeah, really.
And that's a wrap for this episode of Athens Happens. Make sure to check us out at thenewpolitical.com for more podcasts and episodes and other content. Thank you, and until next time.